For the first time in a while, I don't have to try to remember what week it is, because it's the last week, Super Bowl analysis week, the bittersweet commentary on the season that was. I'm Kyle, the student of the game, to my right, Weasel and Chris, ready to wrap up the season here for you. If you haven't noticed yet, up on the site there, we have a YouTube video that we threw up there. Just go ahead and refer to the post before this on the website there, www.thestudentofthegame.com. And there's a link right to it there on YouTube, and you can see that project there. And so anyways, with that, but enough about projects. Projects are done, school is out, study hall is over, and thanks to the Packers' triumphant win, what was it, 31-25?
Yep.
Weasel and I finished tied at the head of the class. Kind of anticlimactic, maybe, but...
Yeah, you're both are 86-50 up here. Just not over 63%.
I would venture to say that that is a quite unfrontable offense. You cannot front on that. And then would you finish, Chris?
Finish 84-52, two games back, just under 62%. But I took those stupid chances.
Yeah.
I even call them stupid, but...
Yeah.
He started picking desperate in like week 9 or 10. I think that was the problem.
I wasn't really picking desperate. I was just going, you know what?
I'm not saying you were desperate, but you picked desperate.
Yeah.
You're like, wait.
Make or break.
You were thinking like, you know, fantasy playoffs are coming off, so either there's a sense of urgency in your picking that may not have existed otherwise. I don't know. But speaking of senses of urgency, the kind of thing you see in an advertising firm, senses of urgency in coming up with the commercials, and we're going to go through the, each of us have our top three and bottom three. Keep in mind kind of the criteria, at least for me, and if you guys want to explain yours as you're going through, that's fine. For me, is somebody who tried to come out with a commercial that they thought was just going to be the most epic thing ever. People will be quoting this for years. They'll make the Fudge Frogs look like something in a pet shop. And then it just sucks. So, let's go ahead and do either one of you two lead it off, or you just want me to go ahead with that?
I'll, you're going best or worst?
We're going worst first.
Worst, all right.
Weasel's on it.
I just hated this, the Coca-Cola Rainbow Dragon. The thing is, it started out pretty cool. You had, you know, the fight going on, you had the dragon going up, looking all badass and all, and then, like, rainbow stuff comes out of his mouth, and it's fireworks, and it's like, really?
That was very subtle, how you're talking about rainbow stuff being bad. We might get letters about that.
Whatever.
Yeah, my picks are all gay, too, so...
That's one of your
that's my number one worst.
That made all three of our worst.
That's your number one worst. You started with your number one worst one.
Yeah,
yeah, we're doing worst first.
I know, but he started with his number one worst. He started from his third worst.
Nah.
He started with his number one worst.
He's allowed.
I know.
But what's your number two then, Weasel?
Number two?
Yeah.
Speaking on the same subject, cram it in the boot. The Mini commercial where they're...
The Mini Cooper, right.
The Mini Cooper, they're showing how you can put so much stuff in a Mini, but yeah.
Do you understand why they go with cram it in the boot? Do you understand what that means?
The trunk.
Very good, yes. Mini Cooper being a British producer. Not that you didn't know, but for those who out there who aren't aware that British and English are a different language, believe it or not, a boot is actually the trunk, and, you know, for people who know that, fine. I mean, you know, me, Chris, and Donnie, all being pretty big ourselves, we're like the Mini Cooper, the fat man's answer to a smart car. But, no, I thought there was worse ones out there, but, yeah, it was British, whatever, what do you expect? And number three?
Number three, I had the Hyundai Electrica. It's where they had all those weird designs.
The trans commercial, right?
What? The trans commercial.
That would also be my number three worst.
Yeah. Yeah.
Great minds. Chris, what do you got?
Well, I got number three worst is the Budweiser Tiny Dancer. That was wrong.
Where the cowboy came in and he's like, give me your butt. And it was actually shaping up to look like something pretty cool. And you knew they were going to twist it.
Broke out the Tiny Dancer song.
Yeah, that, you know.
That's why I said I went gay. So, number two was the Coca-Cola Dragon one.
Okay.
For mine, and the number one worst was the Stella Artois. The singing one.
Yeah, and Adrian, I forget his name.
Adrian Brody?
Yeah, it is Brody. I didn't remember right. He's an Academy Award winner and has appeared in more than one Coca-Cola commercial. I don't get that. But yeah, that left me something to be desired. I know what they were going for. They're trying to get the cultured crowd. Dude, it's the Super Bowl. Lowest common denominator only. Just calling it what it is. And actually, you'll see that how Lois Kamadon has made his presence felt in some of our best picks, I'm sure. You guys have mentioned my 2 and 3. My number 1 was when they had Eminem doing the, number was doing the Brits commercial. That was just ridiculous. They used that years back in the Super Bowl, and they had a number of other cool celebrities do it. And then, oh, Eminem said damn in a commercial, and we're going to make fun of it. No. Frankly, there was entirely too much Eminem in the Super Bowl commercials at all, and they had another one where, you know, it was a, oh, Detroit is awesome, and Eminem is in it, and everyone, like, I think that was some sort of a contest, too. Give me a break. That's ridiculous. But, so, those were, I mean, between we each, you and I, we each had the home away. All three of us had the Coke Dragon, which, again, looked like it was going to be awesome until, you know. So, we all kind of went different directions on that. Let's check out the top three best commercials. Weasel, lead it off.
I'll start off with number 3 for the best.
Okay.
And it did. All right. The Bud Light Dogs one where there was all the Bud Light in the fridge, and then all the dogs could do everything, and like do a barbecue, get your drink, and stuff like that. That was pretty funny.
Chris, you're number 3.
My number 3 was, hey, Ty, I couldn't choose between the Doritos, the Bring Back the Dead. The grandfather one?
Yeah. That was a good one.
That was pretty funny,
but then also a lot of, like, the NFL.com TV favorites. The only reason why I liked it, because at the end you have the South Park guys coming in. It's like, because we don't miss the commercials.
Yeah.
Just got, like, the fonts as a Packers fan, though. That was so weird.
Well, they had to do that. Well, he wouldn't look right as a Steelers fan. It's not him.
I know, but know, still.
Aaron
Rodgers.
They can't put a team that's not in the Super Bowl on the commercial. That would be dumb.
Yeah.
What are you gonna put? Put him in officiating stripes?
They did in the commercial. When you had the Family Matters with Chicago Bears.
Yeah,
I just liked how they put that in through the football through the one that it hit Marsha, and then he's like, "Can I do that?"
It was creative, definitely. My number 3 was the product placement one. One of the earlier ones by Bud Light where he was doing the Squash Buckler movie.
That's my number 2.
And like, okay, yeah. And then that was looking pretty good. And then they backed the damn truck.
And truck
that was awesome.
That was pretty funny. What is that pledge doing in there? Well, when we do product placement, we get free stuff.
Here we go. Okay, Weasel, you're number 2.
Number 2. Volkswagen, the Darth Vader thing. The thing about that is when he was doing the Force and trying to apply it to like a stuffed animal and stuff like that, and it wasn't gonna work. I knew what was gonna happen. The guy, you know, walked away, and he started the car up. When the kid put the put his hands on the car, and he pushed the little button on his remote to start up the car, and the kid was like, "Wow!"
But it's the execution. That kid was cute doing what
it was
he did.
Cool. Yeah,
he didn't make my top 3, but. That was fun. Chris, your number 2 was the product placement. My number 2, and of course, some people probably couldn't call out that this commercial made my top 3 just by what I've said about the Patriots through the year, where Justin Bieber appeared on a commercial with Ozzy Osbourne, that 4G commercial. How many G's are there? What's going on? Huh? And he goes off the stage, and then Justin Bieber comes on to do the 6G or whatever. He's like, who's that? That's Justin Bieber. What's a Bieber? I don't know, but it looks like a girl. It was great.
Yeah. Who said that? That looks like a girl. It's Justin Bieber.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Beard and everything. I was reading about it.
See, so he's taking the same approach as Ryan Seacrest being gay. If you embrace it, no one will care.
Yeah.
Okay, so we each did our number 2. You had the Bud Light product placement. Number 1, Weasel, go.
Bridgestone. Now the driver swerved away from the Bieber, and the Bieber gives him like a thanks doc and a little point to him, and then it shows 6 months later where the same driver is driving down the road. It's a rainy day, and a tree falls out in front of him, and then so you're thinking, whoa, what's going on here? Then the bridge swipes away down the river, and then so essentially the Bieber saved him from driving on the bridge and, you know, dying on the river or whatever. And so the Bieber gives him a little, I got you, dog, type of thing. It was one of those feel-good commercials when a lot of the commercials in the Super Bowl were, like the Doritos ones, where they were funny, but they were about people getting hit, like, with, like, a sliding door with the dog.
That was predictable.
A lot of violent ones. But this one, it was, like, one of those cool feel-good ones.
Uh-huh. So apparently, in unrelated news, Weasel's vehicle to record today was riding on the back of a gay dragon that shoots rainbow stuff out of its mouth. Chris, go.
My first one, my number one best one was the Teleflora.
Oh, yes. With, hey, just so I don't have to do it, that's mine too.
With Faith Hill. Faith Hill told the guy to write, say it from the heart.
He was trying to fill out, like, he's trying to do his Teleflora.
He's trying to order flowers for his girlfriend.
And yeah, it's like, said, I don't know what to
just
say.
Just write from your heart. He goes, all right. Dear Kim, your rack is unreal. Said. And Faith Hill's like, you said that? My heart told me to.
Exactly. Now, that is some feel-good shit right there, because you got the Valentine's Day vibe, okay, and then, you know, boobs, you can't lose, you know.
Faith Hill in you, so,
I mean, you waste your time in your commercial about a beaver. We'll be over here, you know, with talking about racks.
Yeah.
No innuendo in that statement whatsoever. So with that, you know, we could spend 5, 10, 15, 20 minutes talking about Christina Aguilera getting something wrong on the Star Spangled Banner, but we really don't care. I was getting food when it happened. I didn't even notice. I don't know about y'all too, but let's actually get into the game. Now, for my money overall, I'm going to make the statement before we hit the drive chart and kind of the first pop quiz of the episode on this one here. By my count, it was 31-25. It was a 6-point differential, one score. You know, oh, the Steelers had a chance, blah, blah, blah. Hey, look, for my money, the game wasn't that close, or at least shouldn't have been, by my count. I don't know if you guys agree with that or not, but that's kind of what I'm leaning with too. I mean, when you open it up, it was 14-0 at the end of the first quarter. Excuse me. The first touchdown of the game coming about, the drive started 8:17 in, had that nice pass to Jordy Nelson for the 29-yard touchdown. Now, the stat I have here written down for Jordy Nelson, he had 4 big drops on the day. I think you said 7 total for the Packers.
Yeah.
I mean, one of them at least was a touchdown. Could be argued 2 of them could have been touchdown potential. But then I look at his stat line and realize, like, I was all ready to open up a can of I hate Jordy Nelson until I did my research when I got home from the game. Jordy Nelson had 9 catches for 140 yards and a touchdown already. So as it would turn out, those 4 catches that he dropped, all that really would end up doing is costing him the MVP. Let's call it what it is. Because if he had made, let's say, 2 of them, one of them being one of the touchdown drops that he had, he's got 2 touchdowns. He's easily breaking 150 yards with 11 catches. The last receiver to get 11 catches, other than Terrell Owens, I think, was Deion Branch, the Patriots receiver, who won the Super Bowl MVP. History. Anyway, so that opened it up in the middle of the first half there, with the first score and the first blood, so to speak, coming into the game. We then jump over to the next. Oops, we jump over to the next touchdown, because I have a fat finger and hit the button too many times. It was the very next drive after that. Pittsburgh retains the ball, and Big Ben throws the interception to Nick Collins, where Chris reminds me, hey, don't you say that whenever Roethlisberger throws a pick, he usually throws it in the red zone, or 4 pick 6? Well, he was consistent on this one, too. Touchdown number 2 scored off the bat. We got momentum problems already for the Steelers, and it was looking pretty rough there for a while there, too.
That one, he was throwing a deep route to, I believe it was Mike Wallace, when he was throwing it, I mean, it's not an excuse or anything, but when he threw it, his arm got
analysis.
Hit.
Yeah.
His arm got hit, and pretty much it locked in the air for Collins to intercept. So.
Here's two things on that, though. Okay, everyone say, no, that should have been a call. You know what? Mike Wallace had 3 or 4 steps on the guy. If he could have got that pass, I would have touched down the other way.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, all right.
The other one, only Roethlisberger would be coming off the field saying, yeah, he hit my shoulder. Everybody else is like, they hit my face mask and everything. Trying to
your Brady's, your Hasselbeck's,
right.
You know, all the other quarterbacks, and like, oh, he hit me in the head. Osberger's like, oh, crap. You know?
He's coming over his side like, he hit me here.
Yeah.
On top of that, they showed him on that. So, I mean, that's a few things from that. I mean, everyone's like, oh, that shouldn't have been playing on your own end zone. You know what?
Yeah, exactly. And how many times have the Steelers made similar calls where Mike Wallace does something pretty amazing, or Emmanuel Sanders does something pretty amazing? You know, the decision wasn't a bad one, the execution being a problem. I mean, it seemed to me like the Packers defense was in the Steeler backfield from play one, literally. The first Steeler running play was a 5-yard loft that just got dropped, something ridiculous. I mean, sure, it was probably Pouncey's backup, McGurski, I believe it is, probably getting some jitters out of the way, but nonetheless. So with that, jumping over to the next touchdown. Let's see. Oh, actually, before we move on to that, also on that touchdown was assessed a 15-yard penalty for celebration. Look, guys, I don't know about y'all. I know there's rules in the regular season and all that. And in the playoffs, you do certain things in celebration. It's the damn Super Bowl. Let the guy be excited if he turned a touchdown.
I didn't even see the celebration.
I didn't either, frankly.
Okay. What the celebration was there is a rule for celebrations where you can't use the ground. You can't do a celebration on the ground.
Did he lie down?
Well, what happened was he did a touchdown. He ran, and he did like a soccer-type celebration where he slid his knees against the ground.
Oh, come on!
Yeah. So that was the penalty.
Okay. Well, pop quiz, Weasel, just for you, the Packer hater. BS call?
Yes, it's a BS.
Okay, thank you. Well, no. This isn't me attacking you. This is me saying the refs are so messed up, even Weasel has to agree with the Packers. I'm calling it what it is.
Though. I mean, They cite it was going back to Jared Allen. They cited him saying, if you put your knee on the ground and do your little calf thing, it's a penalty. So what he had to do was lift his knee off the ground and do this calf celebration. But
so you're telling me if you put your knee on the ground, it's supposed to be a penalty?
Technically, it should be.
Okay, so if you get players that score a touchdown, they deal a kneel and do a little prayer.
That happened.
That should be a flag.
That happened.
By that rule.
It,
and actually,
you're right.
That's a celebration.
It happened.
This
actually.
Point has been raised before by Scott Van Pelt, actually, on ESPN a number of weeks back, too. But yeah, no,
that did happen in the Super Bowl. I forgot who scored the touchdown, but somebody had their knee on the ground and did like a prayer type thing, mm-hmm. like a thank you.
That did happen. You're absolutely right. I couldn't remember who it was either.
Yeah, so that did happen. So yeah, I get it.
You know, but I think the bottom line, that what I take home here is the reason why that was a penalty is because of Jared Allen's thing. It's the Vikings' fault. Moving on. I had to get that in there, Weasel. I'm sorry. Then after that, we had another... am I reading that? Yeah, we got up
14-3, right?
14.
Goal, right?
That was
14.
It was 21-5, actually. I think it got to 21-5.
No,
it was
14-3,
yeah.
14-3. I skipped over the field goal here, and I probably shouldn't because this is the one that Tweisha made. But, to try to keep it at least respectable, we had Tweisha knock into the field goal with about 7 minutes left in the second quarter. Get the ball back, throw what was a pretty solid toss to Greg Jennings, 21-3. We're looking pretty solid. Steelers get the ball back towards the end of the second half, and that's when fate tries to give them a little help. And by that specifically, I mean towards the end of the half, the Steelers would score a touchdown to kind of close the half out. Ben had already had a hiccup, one of his two interceptions on the night. So they're trying to get anything they can for momentum to try to close out the half. And first, Will Shields leaves the game with an injury. Very next play, Charles Woodson leaves the field with an injury. Okay, which means we have both starting corners off the field. Then the play after that, after the touchdown, Collins leaves the field hurt too. Both Shields and Collins would come back on the field, but these injuries would actually lead to at least one more Steelers.
Shields
came
back to the fourth quarter.
Yeah, and he got thrown out by Ward on one of the Hines Ward touchdown late in the game there too. I got that wrong. It was Mike Wallace, right? Excuse me. Anyway, so that we got both.
But before that series, when Green Bay punted,
mm-hmm.
when James Jones dropped a sure touchdown pass.
Yeah.
Okay, so that was another one of the 6 or 7 drops we got there. So
yeah, right. that one.
That would have been a sure touchdown pass to say Polamalu would have not had an angle.
Yeah.
And
it would have been tough for
Polamalu. I mean, let's call it what it is. He made a tackle or two, but he was pretty much missing for the night. I think Chris has cited this before that.
Yeah, freaking pop on Jennings, though, like in the end zone.
Yeah, when the one he did catch, the one that Greg Jennings caught.
He held on to it.
But he did hold on. Yeah, I mean, hey, look, but calling it what it is, I mean, the blueprint was there from last year's Super Bowl when the Cardinals spread them out. The Cardinals just couldn't finish the job, and oh, by the way, they had a 102-yard return by James Harrison that really actually ended up making the difference in the game. But the...
And so you had that drop by James Jones.
Right.
And so that made it fourth down.
Uh-huh.
And that fourth down, they punted, and then they called the face mask, which wasn't a face mask. They gave the Steelers an extra 15 yards.
And then the Steelers scored off of that drive.
Yeah.
So, right. And then, so we're going into the third quarter, then at this point, we have two corners out, both starters, and signs of life breathing back into the Steelers. Third quarter, Rashard Mendenhall scores again with an 8-yard run. Suddenly, we got a game, 21-17, Packers. So then we head over to the kind of, I mean, I'm skipping the third quarter, but in there, I believe Ben Roethlisberger threw his second interception.
No, his second interception was in the second quarter.
Oh, he threw them both in the second.
Yeah,
okay, so he threw them
both
in the first half. That's right. So both of them were thrown in the first half. Roethlisberger had two interceptions.
That was the Jennings touchdown drive game from that.
But he also had two touchdowns. I mean, he threw the ball 40 times. He completed 25 of them for 63%. Had, what was it, 263 yards. I'm sure it's going to seem pretty obvious, even by the way they're describing it. We're describing it that turnovers are probably going to be remarkably the difference in the game and the difference to other little things that occurred, like all these drops by the Packers that kept the Steelers in the game, too. And a call or two that may have bent the right way, but even still. Anyway, so Rashard Mendenhall scores in the a touchdown in the third quarter. Really the only action as far as the scoreboard is concerned on there, which takes us to the very beginning of the fourth quarter and what I would call the pivotal play of the entire game. At this point, the game is... At this point... At the beginning of the fourth quarter, it's 17-21. Right, I said that.
Yeah, yeah.
10 seconds into the fourth quarter, Rashard Mendenhall fumbles with on the strength of a Clay Matthews hit. And Clay Matthews wasn't trying to strip the ball. He just had a solid hit, solid wrap, helmet on ball. It pops loose. And not only did that stop, for my money, the Steelers looked like they were going to score on that drive. On looks alone, on you know, judging that book by its cover entirely, that was going to be a touchdown for the Steelers. The Steelers are going to go ahead, and this suddenly just became a shootout on the strength of missing corners and a couple mistakes by Green Bay receivers. But then, ball gets fumbled here, gets recovered by the Packers. Packers then, after that, and correct me if this is wrong, take that for another score off of the turnover.
Yeah, they had the three turnovers. It wasn't, they didn't get any field goals out of them.
Three
they
touchdowns.
Got all touchdowns.
Three touchdowns off three field goals.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, again,
yeah.
And again, we're citing ones that should have been just in the course of their normal offense, which is where I get my statement. I don't know if you agree with it necessarily, Weasel, but where I get my statement that it was really more of a gap than those 6 points. It's not that I can squarely place blame because no one should. I mean, I'm going to blame injuries, which again, I'm not saying that the Steelers were less of a team for it, but that's a lucky break for them, right? You know.
Oh, you're talking about they lost their corner. They lost their top corner who's. Yeah. But, I mean, that was big, and I mean, the Steelers did lose their. I mean, just 2 weeks before, they lost their Pro Bowl center. Their defensive ending comeback, so it's not like the Steelers didn't have any injuries going into
it. Oh, right, and no, I'm not, I cited Pouncey earlier in this talk, too, but here's the difference between the Pouncey injury and those two corners. Okay, the Pouncey injury, they've known about for 2 weeks. Gursky has had an opportunity to get into the swing.
Yeah.
Okay, whoever's behind Will Shields, man, they're already on fuse. How many injuries again for the Packers, guys?
17 going into the game.
17, yeah.
That's right, okay. So... You know, yeah, we're talking about the bottom of the back of the barrel and the bench. And still, you know, and I mean, there's some scores were given up. Let's call it what it is. I mean, the fourth quarter belonged to the Steelers. It was 15-10 by the score. Or excuse me, the second half. But anyway, so continuing on after the Mendenhall fumble, jump over to the fourth quarter.
Steelers actually dominated from second quarter on.
Yeah.
The very end of the half, yeah, definitely, at the very least, if not the entire quarter, right. It's hard for me to say they dominated when that was when Ben threw his second reception, but
right.
I'll call that what it is. so from there, Aaron Rodgers hit Greg Jennings on another pass. Greg Jennings had a decent night himself. He went 4 for 64 with 2 touchdowns, and James Jones had 5 for 50, but again, Chris cites it should have been 6 for about, 50-something and a touchdown as well there, too, on the strength of drops. It's very interesting. We only mentioned really Rashard Mendenhall. The running game in general was kind of quiet for both teams. Rashard Mendenhall, having that fumble, of course, went 14 for 63, about 3.5 a carry-ish. 4.5 a carry-ish with a touchdown. And then Ben had to take some runs on his own for 4 carries, 31 yards, 7.75 a carry. He did continue some drives with his legs, but Weasel, I don't know if you knew this, but he still had the steel plate on for that game, too. I knew he was hurt going back to the second of the 3 Ravens games that his foot was messed up.
Yeah,
he's still
going.
Wearing that steel-plated shoe, though. That's a size 15 shoe.
Yeah.
So, I mean, all the jokes of inappropriate conduct in the offseason aside, he showed some fortitude, at least in on the football, on the field during the season. And, of course, talking about the Packers, their running game as well, relying entirely on James Starks. He goes 11 for 52.
It's a big first down run, too.
Right. 4.7 to carry. Even if you take his long run out, which would have been 14 yards, he's got 10 carries for 38 yards, 3.8 per carry. I botched the hell out of that. But anyway, so... the point I'm making there is the running game really not a factor. I think both sides expected the run defenses to prevail. On top of the fact you cited Pouncey missing for the Steelers, they weren't going to run the ball as much as they would have liked. We're kind of wrapping up there on that too. The game really became out of reach, in my opinion, for the Steelers once the. Once the final score, which was by the final score for the Packers, was basically once they got that field goal, it made it a 6-point game only. But at that point, from what I saw, and if you got a different take, Weasel, please contribute. But I kind of saw, it felt to me like the Steelers were kind of deflated. It didn't seem like that they were moving the ball quite as well, quite as much at that point. I mean, after that fumble. And touchdown by Jennings, fumbled by Mendenhall, and then a touchdown off of that by Jennings. They didn't seem to have the same. Now I'll grant that the Steelers kept it close. They had that touchdown by Wallace where they had the 2-point conversion.
Yeah, that was
where Weasel will say it's a good idea here. But I'm convinced that if they missed it, he'd be bitching about it right now.
Well, yeah, of course, that's the way it is.
It was 7.5 minutes left in the game when they scored. You're down, if you kick an extra point, you're down by 4. You're going to score a touchdown.
Yeah.
If you miss it, you still got to score a touchdown anyway. That's a good call to go for 2.
Yeah, I agree.
It was a good
quiet
option they ran.
Which last time Antoine Randall was in a Super Bowl is a play involving a toss. Of course, granted, that was that X reverse pass.
That was a lot different. It was like a reverse play, yeah.
Well, right, but this one here, just a nice little option trick play out to Antoine Wendell, landed in very nicely. It was very, very well run. You can't run on it.
The thing that is that the last time that I think the Steelers ran an option play was to Rashard Mendenhall, and that's when Big Ben got the, it was the linebacker, I think it was the Ravens game.
I believe
where
was.
He got a shot to the thigh.
All right.
Yeah, it worked out. I mean, it was a good play.
Weasel's like, good call. Don't ever do it again.
What I'll say about that, though, is that they drive. They get a touchdown to go within 3 points of the game.
About seven and a half minutes left.
Mm-hmm. And so you're down by 3. Now, when the Packers got the ball, I mean, I got to give them credit. The Packers were driving the ball down the field. Now, one thing I gave Rodgers flack for last week, or 2 weeks ago, against the Bears, was 2 3-and-outs against the Bears to give them a chance to win the game. he didn't get a field goal out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is the previous drive, the Steelers did score a touchdown, so they kind of had some momentum and some confidence going in.
The Maybe Packers, they did. It didn't look like it.
The Packers did get opinion. They did get a field goal out of it, but that brought the game within one score. I think what really, like, pissed off Tomlin and you know, a lot of Steelers fans is on the kickoff, they got a 15-yard penalty for one of the Steelers guys, like, just
push
after the
back.
Play pushed someone. Yeah.
It was clear as day.
Well, it was like after the play, right?
No. Oh, no, yeah, that was a personal foul. Yeah, he shoved the
guy
after the play.
There's a difference between a block in the back and a personal foul.
Another kickoff that was pushed the back, they called it.
And where was that play at? You check that out. Because what you're looking at there is it will be the last drive of the game. I think what you're looking at is...
It was 2:07. It was a 15-yard penalty. They got the ball on their 13-yard line. Then.
So what you're looking at is you get the ball either at your 26-yard line, down by, you got a quarterback who kind of has a history of making a game-winning drive in a Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not something that, you know, it's something that can be done. So you get the ball with 2 minutes left. You got one timeout still. You get the ball at the 26-yard line. It's looking a little bit different than the 13. I mean, they had a chance.
Yeah.
Okay. Hold on. Let me get this. So you cite 26 would have been the starting point, right? That's a 13-yard difference, then, right? Play stalled on the 33. All that means is that would have stopped on the 20 instead.
Okay. Well, all right.
I mean, I'm not trying to be a.
It's like
I'm
it's
not
like,
trying to be a
well,
punk
it,
about
it's
it.
It's one of those.
If
things...
they were knocking on the door of the red zone, then you, like through the red zone, like on the doorstep, you have something.
You went the wrong way. It was their own 33. Pittsburgh won 33. So you add the other 13 yards and get 46.
Okay, so
yeah.
All the less difference that would have made. Whatever. Yeah, you're right. That's my fault.
You were thinking
you're
on the opposite side.
So like, either way, they didn't even cross midfield.
Right.
Give me a break.
They didn't cross midfield. Right. But you got go back.
Why was it a 13-yard penalty then?
Go back to the series.
Distance.
Go back to the series before Pittsburgh scored a touchdown before the conversion.
Uh-huh.
That drop pass by Brett Swain that they challenged that was a catch.
Yeah.
That they said it wasn't.
Yeah, that was.
He had a catch, took two steps. That's when the ball came out.
Yeah.
Well, and you were even claiming that his knee had hit before there was any motion from the ball.
Yeah, you can still say he was bobbling, but a catch is two hands against your body. Even if he had it against his leg, he took two steps, made a football move, then got hit. That was a fumble. That was on third down. That would have been a first down there.
Yeah.
It was
a
fumble that would have also been recovered
by Jennings.
Right.
Right. Okay. Then you get fourth down. The guy has that beautiful 60-something yard punt. Come back because illegal man downfield.
Oh yeah!
But there was a push in the back on that call, that play too. That they did not call. Was on the guy that was illegally got right
well,
downfield.
Would it have been?
There
would
have been offsetting you
refund.
But
either way,
made,
well, see that what
but,
killed them on that was the reach was the having to punt the ball again, and that would have happened either way. You're right.
Right, but that moved the ball back 5 yards. Now the punter's punting from the end zone. When you're a punter and you're in your own end zone, the thing is get the ball off quick. You grab it, you take one step. You don't take your normal 1.5, 2 steps. You take the one step kick when you're punting out of your own end zone. It changes the thing so he doesn't get the momentum coming out of it. That's why the punt was shorter because they got it on like the 40-yard line.
I mean, I know you have some time as a punter back in your day as well, but I mean, here's even the truth of it. Even a one-step punt should have been better than what he came out with.
But it's still the whole thing of, okay, I'm in the end zone. I got to get this ball off quick.
Yeah.
It's a nerve thing.
No, I
Before, he was standing at, like, the 1 or 2.
I mean, we want to talk about
different.
We want to talk about breaks regarding nerves. Again, let us cite how many big balls Jordy Nelson dropped.
Right. But then that Brett Swain dropped 2 in the fourth quarter because he was playing because Donald Driver was out.
So, I mean, and I'm not going to talk about – I'm not here saying that the Steelers didn't play a – great game. They didn't play a great game. That's obvious. They did kind of shoot themselves in the foot, but Packers as well. I think if both teams both played mistake free, we still would have had about this result.
Right. But then going back to the last drive of the Steelers. All right. 4 o'clock management is what cost them. All down the penalty or whatever. 4 o'clock management. They ran two plays, three plays that took like a minute off the clock.
Well, I thought, even aside from the clock management piece, I felt like it just took them a long time to snap it. Now, when you say clock management,
that's what
they blame
the
They blame the coach usually for that. I'm gonna have to put that one more on Ben.
It is, because on too many, they gotta go. And usually, when you're in a 2-man offense, you keep the receivers on the same side of the field. He's trying to get receivers to flop the side of the field, wasting time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're wasting 23, 40, 30 seconds off the clock between snaps. And then that, like, 5-yard pass to on second down, was it second down to Pine Gorge? They caught that on the ground when the Packer guy was trying to go incomplete. And I'm like, no, you don't want to call incomplete. You want to say it's a catch.
Yeah.
The clock keeps going. If it's incomplete, then the clock stops.
Yeah.
Because they only have one timeout. That right there, when you're a receiver, I know it's 5 yards, but you know what? You're going down to the ground. Just let it go down to the ground because the clock stops.
Right.
You know, what's the 5 yards? When you're learning, you know, you need to hurry up. Clock stops, you can call for it.
Any other thought on that with you?
No, I just think they were so ticked off about the 13-yard penalty on the kickoff that everything was off after that.
Okay, so you do think they were flat, huh? Interesting.
Not flat. No, it was demoralized? That was actually a demoralized. That's a good
I remember
word.
Someone else using that word not 30 seconds ago. Yeah. Anyway.
But I mean, yeah, it's pretty straightforward here, too. I mean, people would often say, oh, 30... It was 31-25. Where was defense? Well, I mean, the thing about it was both defenses had a lot of injuries. Weasel sided Aaron Smith and Kiesel. I mean, I think Smith was actually on the field, but he's playing hurt, and Kiesel's been out for a while.
No, Kiesel played.
Oh, do I have him backwards?
Kiesel's
okay.
The one to do with the big beard.
Yeah.
The huge grizzly beard.
Yeah, the lumberjack guy.
Yeah.
Right.
But,
So
Smith was out.
Yeah, that was, I just had him backwards. I got the name changed up.
The one I said he needed to throw it out all year long and come out with ZZ Top to get that custom custom chin strap.
Pretty
balling
right there.
Have a little braid come out or something like
that.
Exactly,
he can do that now.
Well, and I mean, he could
turn into the Vikings. Look at that.
Yeah.
Well, even aside of that, you could have the antithesis of Troy Polamalu. He's got the hair in the front. Polamalu's got the hair in the back.
Yeah.
Well, think of what head and shoulders could do with that.
Just have a little braid just coming down like that. You just look straight down and just hanging down. That'd be kind of cool.
Going.
He should whip a quarterback in the face with a...
Would that be illegal?
15 yards, braid to the face. Right in the face. So, but beyond that, I mean, it was a pretty fun Super Bowl to watch. The truth of it is, in the past 3 or 4 years, we've been kind of spoiled because that Cardinal-Steelers Super Bowl was a pretty good one. Obviously, the Giants beating the Patriots is a pretty good one. But as we start to wrap up here, we usually have a pattern where every other year, somebody on the forum picks the Super Bowl correctly. Since Weasel and I both inhaled profusely, it's very fortunate that we added Chris this year because he had successfully picked the Packers to win back in August, so props to him. Sure, he didn't win the pick'em, but he did win that.
Yeah.
And
there you go.
You know,
there you go.
Was like 1 point away from getting both teams in.
That was actually there's a I think he should be a listener. A roommate of mine, Blake. He actually picked in preseason the Packers or Steelers and the Super Bowl winner.
Okay, so
that's pretty good.
There you go.
That's pretty good. But yeah, that props to you for getting the Packers in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, maybe next year we'll have a prize or something for you, but since we're still in production without any money.
So right now, without even who you think favorite next year?
Oh, boy.
Just in the Super Bowl. Not even a Super Bowl one.
Yeah, I got you. First of all, I'll start with this. What you asked me was, can the Packers repeat? My first initial response was, hell no. But then I started to think a little bit. They had so many injuries this year. They had so many receiver mistakes just in this game alone. For them to return isn't really a foreign concept.
They can do it.
But let's just go around, since Weasel put himself on the chopping block earlier to be the first for everything. Two teams next year's Super Bowl. Weasel, go.
Two teams?
Yeah, one from the NFC, one from the AFC.
Let's
see. Because you need two teams to play a football game.
Steelers can actually, I mean...
Come on,
you
know he's going to
steal
Vikings.
I don't think he's that stupid.
No.
He's going to go Steelers-Bears.
Steelers, there is a possibility that they repeat it, but I'll have to go with we'll see if it's maybe the Patriots. They got a young defense, and that's another year under their belt, and Tom Brady comes back strong. Patriots and Packers, I mean, they had a lot of injuries, and Finley should be back, and maybe Grant, and
DeMichael Finley, of course, and then Ryan Grant, the running back.
And they'll have some injuries. They'll have some players back on D, so they could come back. So yeah, I can see that.
Okay, so you got Packers Steelers,
Packers Patriots.
Chris.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Yes, that is enough. See what happens in the off season.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of things
happen. But two, you know, for agents and everything.
See, you ruined my pick. I was going to say nothing because there's going to be a strike. No, but a lockout.
Between the two, I'm just saying it with Patriots. They are a young team. He has, seven in the first three rounds this year. He has drafts, six, you know, I mean.
Right.
They have the second best record in the league.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think they can make the Super Bowl next year if stay healthy.
Blah.
Yeah.
Patriots Packers makes a lot of sense, but just for the sake of being different, I'm going to go a different direction because everything there makes sense. I would also cite a number of teams who were extremely limited by injury. Okay, I mean, for example, you have the Saints, you have the Colts, you have everything else too. Now, am I thinking the Saints are going to get to the Super Bowl next year? Hell no. But the Packers also being one of the teams cited with injuries, the Packers making it back to the NFC makes sense. I'm not going to be able to confidently say the Steelers will return, but I will confidently say that the Colts, being so limited by injury, may not have injury bug next year. I like their shot so far today. And, of course, in the offseason, we're assuming that they bolster their defense and various other things, too. So, that'll be the call for next year. Go ahead and shoot us an email with your feelings on the Super Bowl, what might I have next year, and what you'd like to see, perhaps, in the form of any off-season broadcasts or recordings or projects that you want to suggest for us there, too. Email being thesotg@gmail.com. Hit us up on Twitter, thesotg. The website being www.thesooneofthegame.com. You can drop a comment on us there. Subscribe to us on iTunes. You have all those options. Go ahead and reach out to us. And Facebook, also an option as well. So with that, pretty good season. You guys think it was a good season this year? I mean, you know, I know a team you don't like won the Super Bowl, but overall the season was pretty solid. A lot of drama. Some teams' destinies coming on a single play, not necessarily talking about the Bears, but the other teams involved in that whole thing in the NFC was an awesome race. All the drama between the Steelers and Ravens. The three, I'd say top five games, those three Steelers-Ravens games were three of the top five. For my money. I don't know if you agree, Weaver, but... So, anyways, with that...
Check out the video.
Yeah, definitely check out the video. We have it on the post previous to this. And until then, we'll see you in the off-season.